with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. You know, God has given us tools that we can use to overcome the enemy. How many know that we have an enemy? And I want you to know that he has been defeated. And for those who know who they are in Christ and what they've been given, you can resist him in the faith. But you know, these tools have to be applied to our lives. Ladies, is there an automatic makeup putter on her that you can press a button and it just automatically comes on you? Does anybody have one of them? You know? Ladies, if you want to put your makeup on, what do you have to do? You have to apply it, right? You have to put it on. The lipstick doesn't go on itself. Men, do you have an automatic dresser that you just go in and it puts your clothes on you? You know? You've got to put your clothes on, right? They have to be applied to your life. Well, the same thing is true in overcoming the enemy. The blood of Christ is a powerful tool that has been given to us for the sole purpose of overcoming the enemy. And it's a tool that we have to use. So we're going to learn about how to apply the blood of Jesus to our life. Amen? It is more than just saying, I plead the blood. And I was inspired by Derek Prince. I don't know if you've ever heard of Derek Prince, but I got a little devotional book of his called Declaring the Word of God. And it's actually on my iPad, and so I was reading it, and I was so struck by what he was saying, and this is kind of what inspired me for this message. And I want you to look at verse 7 of Revelation chapter 12. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Say, prevailed not. Prevailed not. See, though the enemy tried, he cannot prevail. Jesus and the devil are not on equal terms. Amen? Amen? Satan is under the feet of Jesus. Actually, Jesus crushed his authority. And when he defeated the devil, he made a show of him openly. Jesus had a party in the spirit showing the defeat of the devil. So he made a show of him openly. Okay? Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. When you go against God, you will lose. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. How many angels were with Satan? One third, right? How many is that angel? I have no idea how much that is. One third. Okay? So that means we have two thirds on our side. That's good news, isn't it? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Say, they overcame him. They overcame. How did they do it? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Say, I can overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Hallelujah. We're going to look in how to do that. Now, there are three elements involved in overcoming the devil. Number one is the word. Glory to God. Your word, the word of God, is a double-edged sword. It cuts both directions. All right? Then the second element is the blood of the Lamb. How many know the Lamb shed his blood? On Calvary, Jesus shed his blood. Therefore, the blood, it is through the blood that we become children of God. Whether you realize it or not, you've been a blood-bought church. Jesus purchased you with his blood, the precious blood of Jesus, not with silver, not with gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. There was only one spotless lamb. And then the third element in overcoming the enemy is your testimony, is the words that you say. Now, your testimony is what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you know. Every one of us have a testimony. If you've been born again, your testimony is you've been delivered from death, from spiritual death. Amen? You're going to be with the Father in heaven if you've been born again. Praise the Lord. So, now here's the, we overcome Satan when we testify personally to what the Word says the blood has done for us. And in order to testify accurately, you're going to have to know what the Word says the blood has done for us.
Amen.
All right? Hallelujah. So you've got to tell Satan personally what the Word says that the blood of Jesus has done for you. You've got to declare it. You've got to proclaim it. You've got to say it. You've got to talk it. And sometimes there has to be a sternness about you. A determination. Amen? So this is how we overcome Satan. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and you're not afraid of death. Say, I'm not afraid of death. What happens when a believer in Christ dies? Is that the end? You simply step over into glory. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Okay? So you should not fear death. Amen?
Amen?
Those who were martyred, those who were killed because they would not refuse, they would not reject, they would not denounce Jesus Christ, they're called martyrs. Some of them, you know, they had to exile John because they tried to kill him and couldn't. See, if I die, that's not the end. So therefore, I don't have to be afraid of death. Because I'm a believer in Christ, and for me, death has lost its sting. Death has no sting to a believer in Christ. You should not fear death. So when you don't fear death, you're not afraid to stand up and testify about what Jesus has done. You're not afraid to testify about what God has done for me. Amen? When you're not afraid of death, it adds an element of boldness to your life. Hallelujah. Now, in order to apply the blood, we need to go back and to see how it was first used. I want you to go with me to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to go back and see when the Lord instituted the Passover. And we're going to see how they applied the blood. Now, obviously today, we can still apply the blood, but we're going to apply it a little differently than they did it there. Okay? So if you go with me to Exodus 12, see, this applying the blood to your life, it parallels the Passover ceremony. Okay? There was a time when God told, well, let's just read the story, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. How many know that God can speak to you in your captivity?
Yes.
You know, we sang about, here we are, waiting on God. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for an instruction. You're waiting for direction. You're waiting for a command to go do this, to go there, to come through here. See, we wait for God to give us a command, but when he commands, waiting is done and action occurs. Okay? Some people have been waiting and waiting and waiting with no action. I'll let you think about that for a minute. This month shall be to you the beginning of months. How many know that your life began when you made Jesus Christ your Lord? I mean, you were born and you had a life, but your life really began when your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you didn't like being born, you could be born again. And really, the second time is better. Amen. Speak unto all the congregation, verse 3, of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Notice they had to take a lamb to them. They had to take it. They had to possess it. They had to go and get it. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. One lamb, one family. And if the household be too little for the lamb, maybe you're a single person in a house. Well, you could let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. So you could share. Isn't awesome how God sets things up? When you don't think you have enough in yourself, you can join with someone else. It's called the body of Christ. God designed the church to be like a body. Every function, every part in its right place, but when it's all together, it works wonderfully. Amen. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise God. Your lamb shall be without blemish, no defect, no bruises, bumps, or disease, or weakness, no blemish. A male after the first year had to be a firstborn male. Okay? Are you seeing the parallel to Jesus? He was the firstborn from the dead. He was the male child born to God. Hallelujah. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. So they collected the blood in a basin. Now, the blood in the basin did them no good. It had to be applied to the doorposts, all right? It had to be applied to the top, to the side, and to the side. Why? You walk through the blood, you never walk over the blood. He never told us to put the blood on the threshold because you don't walk over the blood, you walk through the blood. Because we're cleansed by the blood. Okay? And so there had to be a sacrifice. For you could keep this lamb or goat up to 4 days, and hopefully you didn't get attached to it because it was going to die. It was going to be a sacrifice. How many know that without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sins? In God's covenant, blood has to be shed. That's how God designed his redemption. We were going to be redeemed through the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But thank God, Jesus shed his blood. Okay? And then you're going to eat it. So not only is the lamb going to give you its blood, but it's also going to give you dinner. What are you having tonight? Lamb burgers. Lamb chops. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled or sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire. How many know that we need the fire of God to come in and to purify the junk that's in our lives? See, today is the day of Pentecost. What does that mean? Today was the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, and when he ascended, he left something behind called the Holy Spirit. He poured out of his Holy Spirit, which appeared to them in the upper room as tongues of fire. They were roasting in that upper room, spiritually. Glory to God. See, and today was 50 days after the resurrection. And when Jesus, the disciples heard Jesus' last words and they saw him just take the elevator 777 right into heaven. Hallelujah. He descended right before their eyes. Its head with his legs and the pure tense thereof. Listen, you've got to eat the whole thing. Some people just want to take bits and pieces of God that they like, but they want to leave the bits and pieces that they don't like. I don't like that part. It's too tough. It's too rough to chew, so I'm not going to. No, you got to take the whole thing. It's all or nothing. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. Right? There's no gray area. God didn't give you a balance beam so you could walk the fence. He told you to pick a side of the fence. Because if you try to walk the fence, you're going to fall on one side or the other anyway. Right? You got to eat the whole thing. And you shall let nothing remain until the morning. And that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. There again, sometimes we want to hang on to the old things. We've stored some things that God has said, and they've now gathered dust on them because we haven't used them. We haven't acted on them. We haven't practiced them. So what you don't use, put it through the fire and let it be refined. And thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's supper. This was the first fast food meal. You ate it like you're ready to go out the door. It's like you're ready to go and you eat your food. And why? They were getting ready to be transferred from slavery to freedom, from darkness to light, from oppression to joy. God was getting ready to transfer them. See, they weren't just going to walk through the door, but they were walking into a new life, into a new way of living. They were walking into the realm of works into faith. And so you got to be ready. Do you realize that one of the part of the armor that God gives you are shoes of preparation or readiness of the gospel? You know, the people of God have to be ready when God speaks. You know, when God needs to move in a certain place, he's got to have the people ready to go. Too many times we make God wait on us, and that's not how it should be. You know, when it comes to the Lord, when you get born again, your life now becomes a tool to honor God in every area. And let me just say this. When you start to dishonor God in little areas, that will lead to you dishonoring him in bigger areas. You know, God told Samuel, he said, those that despise me are lightly esteemed. When we despise the things of God, let me just ask you this question. What should we give God of us? Should we give him what's left over? Should we give them when we feel like it?
No.
Should we give them if we think we're going to have enough? No, you give God your first and your best. And I'm telling you that the way you honor God affects every area of your life. When we belittle the things of God, and you do that by the way we behave. Our behavior shows what we believe. So does our words. Our words and our behavior reveal what we believe. And, you know, you don't want to dishonor God even in little things. The things of God, the people of God, the places of God are holy unto God. You know, I'm just going to take a little side note here and then we'll get back. I won't charge you anything extra. It's all included. There was a certain way that the Ark of God had to be transported. It could only be carried with poles on the shoulders of priests. Okay? If you tried to transport the ark any other way, you would die. Well, you say, well, that's not fair. No, it is fair because it's God's ark. And because it's God's ark, God gets to set the rules. Now, one day, David was transporting the ark on a cart. Mistake number one, you know, like on the Family Feud, when they answer the question, you get that big X. First of all, it wasn't designed to be transported on a cart. Then the cart was wobbling and the ark was going to fall. Someone reached out to stop it. They were zapped dead. My point is this. When we, the people of God, when we treat the things of God in a belittling fashion, you're planting seed in your life that's going to lead to bigger things. Okay? Let's go down to verse 21. Okay? Notice Moses called for the elders of Israel, the leaders, and said to them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of this house until morning. Okay? Listen, whoever's the leader of your family, I'm speaking to the leaders. It could be male, it could be female, depending on your situation. Amen? You need to take the lead. You need to be the one to initiate what God wants to do in your family. Okay? You need to sacrifice for your family. I don't know, but our greatest leader, Jesus, he put on a towel and he washed feet. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. He said, the greatest among you will be the one who can outserve the others. If you want to be a good leader, outserve people. Husbands, if you want to be a good husband, outserve your wife. That's one kind of competition I encourage you to have. There's other competitions that you shouldn't have, but you should try to outserve one another. Have a competition to see who can be the greatest servant. Because in serving, you're going to have to sacrifice some of your needs for the needs of others. Oh, I'm talking to you now. And you have to apply the truth to your household. And you have to carry out God's word. When there's a void of leadership, Satan would be more than happy to oblige. Because he's a deceiver. Ephesians tells us to give no place to him. Okay, he's always looking for a weak link. Now, if you're in a home and you're single, guess what? You're the leader. You've got to do it yourself. There's no one else. It's you. So take the lead. Take the initiative. These were elders. These were leaders. Moses said, you've got to gather the lamb. You've got to get the word for your household. See, the blood had to be applied to the house. They used this thing called hyssop. And I looked at some different pictures of the hyssop, and it was like a sponge-like plant. And when you mix it together, it became like a paintbrush in essence. And you could take the hyssop, and the hyssop would soak up the blood, and then you could put the blood on the doorpost, and put the blood on the doorpost, and put the blood on the doorpost. It's like how they used to write letters before the Bic pen, or whatever you call this pen. They had to what? Dip it in the ink. They had to dip the quill into the ink so that they could write, and then when the ink would dry, they had to dip it again. Some of you need another dip in the blood of Jesus. Some of you need a double dip. Because there have been some things that have creeped in that only the blood can deal with. Mm-mm-mm. So they had to apply it, this blood. Now I want you to notice here, notice the last part of verse 22. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. The blood only works for the obedient. Yes, I've applied the blood to the house, but the instruction was you got to stay in the house. Even though the blood was applied to the house, if you're outside fooling around and the angel of death comes, you die. Because the only protection was in the house. We got too many people leaving the house. When you leave the house, you leave your protection. You make yourself wide open to the enemy. Let me read this again. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. Let's read verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. You shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and your sons forever. So you may have applied the blood to your house, but if you're not obedient to God, you're going to open yourself up for destruction. The blood works in conjunction with the obedient, the ones who follow the instructions. They don't add anything to what God says. They don't take away what God says. They just do what God says. Listen, don't add to what he says. Don't take away to what he says. Just do what he says. Amen. If you just do what God says, you'll be safe. Let me just talk about this for a minute. Can we just elaborate? Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. This is the hors d'oeuvre before your lunch. If you want to have a good lunch, you got to let your stomach be settled with God's word. Because I'm saying some things that are pretty straightforward today. Because I want you to understand that there is power in the blood. The blood is not to be despised. The blood is not to be belittled. But the blood is to be believed. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect, that word means chosen. Say, God chose me. Say, I'm God's favorite. Well, you must be God's favorite. He chose you. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto who? Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace. What comes before the sprinkling of the blood? Obedience. You've got to obey God. That's why God gave us commands, not suggestions. You know, God didn't give to Moses the 10 things if you feel like doing them. He called them the Ten Commandments. There's a reason why he calls them commandments. And because God is so gracious, Jesus took the ten and made them two. He simplified it. Amen? If you love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, guess what? You fulfill all the ten. Love is the hinge of the commandments. The commandments are the door, but love is the hinge that the door sits on. So if you just operate by love, you're fulfilling what God wants. But you have to be obedient. The blood is not sprinkled on the disobedient. The blood does not protect those that go out of the house. But there is perfect protection in the blood to those who obey the Lord. Amen. When you do what he says and you follow the instructions, the angel of the death, he'll come knocking at your door, but there'll be no one to answer, and he'll pass by. He said, I've got the wrong house. You know, things grow best where they're planted, right? You know, things don't grow too well unless they're planted. You know, a farmer, if he wants a crop of corn, he could think about corn. He could draw pictures of corn. He could look at Orville Redenbacher and see all the popcorn. But until he takes that seed and plants it, no corn is going to grow. And God plants people in places. God plants people in relationships. God plants people because he knows what you need more than you know what you need. So if you want to grow, be where God planted you. Hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're just elaborating a little bit on, if you want the benefits of the blood, you got to be obedient. Romans 1:5, Paul is talking here, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And you know what I like about God? It doesn't matter where you're from, what your culture is, what your experience is, you can obey what God said. God's word is universal for obedience. God made it possible for people just like you and I to obey him. He's put it within your heart to obey him. There is blessings for obedience. Go to Romans chapter 8. Verses 12 through 14. Why do we have to know this? We have to know this so that we can properly apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. Knowing this is part of being able to do that. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You know, once you're born again, you can tell the flesh no. Before you were born again, you couldn't tell it no. But now that you're born again, you've got the strength on the inside of you to tell your flesh no. You are not a debtor to the flesh. Say, I don't owe the flesh anything. We try to make our flesh comfortable. We try to make our flesh feel good. We try to make our flesh pleasant. But you know what? Your flesh never has enough. How many's ever noticed that about your flesh? You can have a Thanksgiving meal one day and stuff yourself till you have to loosen your belt and fall asleep, and the next day you will want more. Isn't that true? So you're not a debtor to the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to what? Who said that? Paul said that, anointed by the Holy Spirit, right? If you live after the flesh, what does that mean? If all your life is made up of making the flesh feel good, making it comfortable, pleasing the flesh, you're going to die. Well, does that mean I should live an uncomfortable, miserable life? No. Jesus came to give you an abundant life. You just got to put first things first. Your flesh is not the leader of your life. Your spirit is. It is in your spirit that God dwells, not your flesh. God didn't say with the mind, man believes unto righteousness. He said with the heart. Who's the heart? That's the spirit. That's the hidden man, the inside man. Okay? But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How are you going to kill the flesh? You're going to have to do it through the spirit. You're going to have to produce the fruit of the spirit, where before there was a barren piece of land that was dry, but now there's an orchard called the fruit of the spirit. What kind of fruit are you growing? If someone poured a drink of your joy fruit, would it be sour? Or did you pick it too soon? Or does it need to stay on the tree a little bit longer to ripen up? Come on. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? So, even 2 Corinthians 10:5, you don't have to turn there, but it tells us to make every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You mean I got to control my thoughts too? Yeah. If you don't control your thoughts will control you. As a man thinks in his heart, what is he? So is he. What's he so is as? He so is like he thinks. You got to where you are today because of your thoughts. Everyone here today, you got up and you said, I'm going to church today. That was a thought, right? You said, it's Sunday, I'm going to get to church. That thought was the driving force to bring you here. Some people got up and said, oh my goodness, I'm going back to bed. That was their thought that drove them, that motivated them, amen? So let me give you the first proclamation in how to apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. Here's proclamation number one. Obviously, there's going to be more than one, but I'm giving you one today. I proclaim that this day that I will walk in obedience to you, Lord, I testify to Satan personally to what the word says the blood of Jesus did for me. Jesus was obedient to the cross, and he expects us to be obedient to the Father. And this is how we apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. When we know what the word says the blood has done for us. You've got to be confident in what the word says the blood of Jesus has done for you. You know, when someone's not confident, you're not going to give a good speech. So we've got to develop in this. And as these Sundays go on, we're going to learn more points about how to apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. God has made the blood of Jesus a personal application. You can apply the blood of Jesus, and when you apply the blood of Jesus, you will stand in victory over Satan. You will stand in victory over temptation. You will stand in victory over destruction. You'll be able to be like Jesus, who can sleep during a storm, because he knew what the blood of Jesus would do for the world. And he was confident. And when you're confident in what God has done for you, you can face any challenge, any difficulty, any valley, any mountain, and you know that you're gonna go through it. Amen?
Amen.
So this is how we apply the blood of Jesus. It's more than just saying, I plead the blood. But it is declaring what the word says the blood has done for us. The blood, and we're gonna, can I just give you a list a little bit? Let me just give you a little list here. Hallelujah. Oh. This is what the word says the blood does for us. Are you ready? I'm going to take this last minute here and do this. The word says that the blood justifies. What does that mean? Just as if I've never sinned. The word says that the blood is precious. So you've got to know that there's value in the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1:5 says, we're freed from sins by the blood. Hebrews 9:14, the blood cleanses our conscience. How many know that we need a clean conscience? Ephesians 1:7, it says, we've been redeemed by the blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, we've been cleansed by the blood. 1 John 1:7 says, blood purifies us from all sin. It removes every stain, every stench. Hebrews 13:20 and 21, the blood of the covenant brought Jesus back from the dead. Powerful. Hebrews 13:12, blood makes you holy. Woo, it makes you holy. Makes you just like God. In Hebrews 12:24, blood speaks of better things. Blood's got a voice. Hebrews 10:19 and 20, blood gives us confidence to enter the Holy of Holies. You can come into the Holy of Holies. Colossians 1:20, blood makes peace and reconciles us. Ephesians 2:13, blood brings us near to God. 1 Corinthians 11:25, the blood establishes a new covenant. Acts 20:28, blood purchases you. And Revelation 7:9 through 14, robes are made white with the blood of the Lamb. It can wash you. So as we learn about what the Word says the blood does for us, it's going to build our confidence so that when Satan comes, we can personally testify to him. Satan, I personally testify to you. You are not going to mess with my family because my family's covered with the blood. My family's under the blood, and I'm standing my ground in Jesus' name. It'll make you a fierce warrior for righteousness. But we as the church, we're a blood-bought church. We're not some poor, barely getting along institution. We are the institution established by God, whom Jesus is the head. He's put us in this earth to propagate his gospel. Our main purpose of the church is to preach the good news to every creature, to every nation, to every tribe, and every tongue. Amen. And we've got to understand that it's all based on the blood. Amen. Jesus wipes away every sin through the blood. The crimson tide that still flows from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and let's praise the Lord for the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lamb the praise that he's due. Let's recognize that it is the Lamb who's leading us into a revolution. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise for the blood of Jesus. It washes, it purifies, it makes us holy. It brings us into his presence. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We've got to have faith in the blood of Jesus. We've got to apply the blood of Jesus to our life. We've got to declare what the Word says the blood of Jesus has done for us. That's how we apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. That's how we overcome the enemy. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives to death. Hallelujah. Amen. When we have this revelation, when we walk in this revelation, you're going to be sent as agents of the Lamb. You can go forth and you can say, who told you to do it? You can say, the Lamb told me to do it. Amen. The Lamb has commissioned me. The Lamb has sent me forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to give you the victory today. I feel inspired that I need to pray for victory. Maybe you have encountered defeat. Maybe you feel that you've been pressed down by an enemy, that he's closing in and you don't feel like you can. There's a way out. But I'm telling you, the blood can give you the victory because the blood will help you overcome the enemy. The blood will turn the enemy's plans upside down. So if you need prayer today, for victory. I want to pray a victory prayer over you today. Amen. God wants to give you the victory. So if you're not experiencing the victory in your life, and you know what? The number one victory is to have Jesus in your heart, to have him as Lord of your life. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, then you will live a defeated life. So if there's anybody here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord, maybe you've gotten away. Maybe you have made Jesus Lord of you one time, but then for whatever reason you walked away, you started doing your own thing. Your victory begins right now today. Amen? But if you need to come back to the Lord, or if you need victory in your life, I want you to come up. I feel like there's an anointing to give you victory here today. Amen? Maybe you need a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here that needs a victory today? Glory to God. There's victory today. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There's victory in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm. Glory to God. Father, I give you thanks and praise right now that she has the victory. The victory of the blood is hers, won by a champion in the name of Jesus. Lord, give her the victory right now over every area, over every situation, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, we just plead the blood of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Father, that she has the victory over every enemy, over every attack, over every onslaught, in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare victory is hers in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you have empowered her to win in Jesus' name. Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, for giving her the victory in Jesus' name. She is not defeated. She is not down. But, Lord, you're causing her to triumph in everything that she does in Jesus' name. Father, anoint her with strength in Jesus' name. Strength, wisdom, and understanding. I thank you right now, Father, that you're giving her the victory in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the victory that's in the blood of Jesus, Father. Well, I thank you, Lord, for turning things in Jesus' name. We declare the blood of Jesus. We say, Lord, that the blood, Father, brings her into the presence of the Almighty. Almighty, where the enemy cannot come in. Hallelujah. The blood takes you where the enemy can't get in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we release the victory in the blood of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father, for activating those things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just take a moment right now and say, I receive your victory. Your victory is mine. And I will rejoice in this victory. Hallelujah. Just like Miriam, who got the tambourine and sang on the other side. They sang the victory song. The horse and the rider is thrown into the sea in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, we release the victory that's in the blood of Jesus. Father, we pray for him right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for causing him to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. And he loves not his life to death. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father, for boldness, a lion's boldness, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you thanks and praise, Father, that he has the victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that yokes are destroyed and burdens are removed right now in Jesus' name. I plead, Father, I declare that he's healed by the blood. The blood that Jesus shed on Calvary brings healing. It brings life. There's life in the blood. Therefore, you have his life because you have his blood in Jesus' name. Father, just do a blood transfusion right now. Just do a blood transfusion. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, we release the victory that's in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a champion bloodline. Oh, there's power in the blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that your power is going forth and it's doing what only it can do. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. There's just a flow of victory from his blood in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, Lord, that his robe has been washed in the blood. In Jesus' name, you've got a new garment. Hallelujah. Wear it in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the mighty victory that's in the blood. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord. There's victory in the blood of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, your strength is given to us through your blood. We release the victory that's in your blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the victory and the provision that's in your blood in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for touching her with the power of the blood. Oh, we release that victory that's in the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise right now, Father, that she's covered by the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the priest of this home that has applied the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. And therefore, every attack has been deferred. Every enemy has been overcome in the name of Jesus, because he takes the blood and he applies it to his house. And we give you thanks and praise, Father, that he has the victory in the blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Woo, what a good feeling it is to have the victory in the blood. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that there's victory in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for just doing a great work in her. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you've got a response to give to the enemy. Amen. You've got to respond to the enemy. Don't just listen to what he says. He's a liar. You can talk back to the enemy. You can tell him what the word says the blood has done for you. Hallelujah. Well, I'm looking forward to going deeper in this. Amen. Hallelujah. We just peeled off one layer of the onion today. Glory to God. Well, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless these people. You cause your face to shine upon them. You be gracious to them, Father, and give them peace. Bless them, protect them, provide for them, lead and guide them by your Spirit, Lord, and may they go with your joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming out today and worshiping the Lord, and have a great day. And like always, we have food after our service, so everyone's welcome to join us.